Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. This week I'm going to be out and about again, and that's going to start off with the Iowa Power Farm Show in Des Moines, Iowa. Lovely this time of year, I know. Looking really forward to driving up there later after recording today's program. And then this weekend I'll be at the Chicago Farmers Farmland Investment Fair doing a couple of presentations on social media before heading to Dallas for the National Biodiesel Conference. So it's just that time of year, busy time, and we are certainly out and about. Cindy gets a week off here before she's back on the road, too. I'd like to thank our sponsors for the Zimcast, and that includes Novus International, as well as new sponsor Leica Geosystems. We really appreciate their support. In this week's program, we're going to talk to the new executive director for the National Association of Farm Broadcasting, and that's Mark Vail. And Mark, first of all, welcome to the Zimcast.
I appreciate it, Chuck. Good to be with you.
Well, you know, Mark, we've known each other for a couple of years, and first of all, I'd say congratulations on this career move. And there are, I'm sure, some listeners, some people who may not know you real well. So why don't we just kind of touch a little bit on your experience? Because certainly you've been in the farm broadcasting business for most of your career.
Just about all of it. I grew up on a family farm operation in southeastern Minnesota, and back in the early to mid-70s got a chance to go to work for a company called AgReports, which was a subscriber service audio market reporting service. And I started reporting markets to subscribers, grain elevators, large farmers, seed dealers, that type of thing, agribusiness entities, before the days of computers and data screens and all of that. We used the power of the airwaves through a subscriber network, and I read the markets every 5 minutes for the market day, so I got ingrained initially deep into the markets. So that's how I got started in the business, and then eventually was offered a position as a farm director at a commercial station in Rochester in 1976, and as they say, the rest is history. And I've known you for more than just a couple of years, by the way. You know, a little disclosure here. I mean,
hey, we don't. You know, you mentioned a date. I mean, we don't have to date ourselves. I mean, just, you know, a few years is okay. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it goes back a ways from, you know, you worked in Kansas, and I guess I'm not sure where your exact residence location is now. Are you in Kansas or Missouri?
Actually, I've lived in Kansas City, Missouri since 1994.
Right, okay.
And but I'm a native of Minnesota. I was a Kansan for about 8 years. Lived in New Mexico for 2 years and then back to Kansas City.
Right. Well, you've certainly, for somebody who would lead a broadcasting or farm broadcasting organization, you've got the background for that. And really, if you kind of look at the history, with the exception of maybe Ken Root, and at least what we'll call the most recent NAFB, more experience than we've had in that position. So, I mean, that seems to make a lot of sense to me. I think the committee that made the decision probably made a good choice from that standpoint.
Well, we'll hope so. You know, only time will tell. You can't make a living on your laurels or on your past experience, although they're a great guide. You've got to, I like to say, you got to be able to walk the talk.
Yeah.
And as we move forward, starting in March, if I walk the talk and then walk the walk, hopefully be able to pull off the duties and obligations of the new position. At least that's my goal.
Well, it's you're convenient, too, because the office for the organization is just on the north side of Kansas City, essentially, there. So that's kind of convenient. And you said you're looking forward to being there. You said March is when you start?
March 1st is the start date. I've been working the last 18 years for an employee-owned company, Eagle Communications, out of Hayes, Kansas, and for the past 11, 12 years of overseeing the operations of our 23 stations in Kansas, Nebraska, and Missouri, and our small ag network. We have an in-house ag network through our flagship station, Tom Brand in St. Joseph, Missouri. Mm-hmm. So stayed involved in that for the number of years. But so, you know, make the transition and then start on March 1st.
All right. Well, let's look ahead just a little bit. And I know you've got a process to go through here, but I'm sure that this is something you've been asked and will certainly be asked again. As you move into this new position, what are some of the priorities or challenges or things that you see ahead of you as you take over that position?
There's nothing more basic in this country than American agriculture, food and fiber production. Right along with that, the basic need for good, solid communications. And one thing about farm broadcasters and farm broadcasting is they've worked side by side, supported each other for 70 to 80 years, the association almost 70 years old. So there's a long, rich history, not only of the two industries, but of the association as well. So capitalizing on that and then taking into consideration all of the nuances, generations and generations of technological advances, both in broadcast and in modern production agriculture, food and fiber, and all of the ancillary industries surrounding food and fiber, and the globalization of food and fiber production, marketing, distribution, you know, the whole deal. And how the technology has also ramped up on the broadcasting side. It was literally not feasible 10 to 15 years ago to have a Missouri or a Kansas or an Illinois farm broadcaster be available outside of their primary coverage area. Now, just like this podcast, you know, it can be done worldwide. So the globalization of those two industries provides us with some challenges looking forward. I hope to be able to pull together and bring together the congruent portions of technology and broadcast and technology and agriculture, and where the two meet is in marketing and communications, and make sure that relationship stays strong, solid, and grows as we move through the coming decade and be positioned to continue to serve agriculture as it has as a broadcaster. Nothing more important than content. Content is king in the world of communications, and broadcasters have a unique ability to gather content, to distribute content, and now the technology allows it to come to producers and agribusiness in just about any form or format that they want. So there's a lot that can be done. There's a lot of room for creative solutions on both sides of the aisle. So that's kind of where I'm seeing this going.
Well, I have the opportunity and pleasure to interact with a lot of agricultural journalists, both in the broadcast and non-broadcast, and you know, with the whole convergence of communications we've seen, courtesy of Al Gore or whoever invented the internet, we really see a lot of convergence is the best word, I think. I was just at the National Cattlemen's Convention, and I had to take a picture of it because here's a traditional publication guy doing stand-up television with an interview after a press conference, which is going to be and was very quickly put onto the internet via their website, and then seeing some of NAFB's members, at least one comes right off the top of my head, that now own a magazine, you know. It just, as we look at that, it seems like there is a lot of commonality in terms of the various forms of communication that are being used now. So I guess as you look forward, how do you feel about the challenge of being relevant to the membership? And by that, I offer that same question to organizations like AAEA and Livestock Publications Council, you know, and in today's environment. Is that something that has come up in terms of strategic planning and that kind of thing with NAFB?
Yeah, it's been brought up, the convergence of digitalization of technology and delivery has been discussed for a number of years. And the convergence is, you know, it's not only the watchword, it's probably the best word to describe it. But there's also something out here that I haven't been able to quantify, and I call it a little bit of digital overload sometimes, too, because there is this tremendous amount of information out there. Being able to sift through and to trust and to understand all the nuances and all the different ways of getting it becomes a challenge. So as an end user, it becomes as much of a challenge finding the good quality relevant content and then deciding which format you want in it. So I hope that NAFB, like the other associations, will continue to support the membership, but also to learn from the membership and be able to capitalize on what works. This is a notoriously entrepreneurial type of organization. Not unlike yourself and Cindy, you know, you broke a lot of ground in the Zimcast and in all that you do. There's a lot of entrepreneurial possibilities that our memberships have each and every day, and where there's a need, ag journalists, farm broadcasters, ag writers, publishers, they'll find a way to get it done. What we have to do is try to figure out a way to monetize it and make sure that it is a worthwhile venture and that it is able to be supportive and able to support the ag communications industry.
Well, I think one of the key differences that if you kind of compare NAFB to some of the other organizations is in that area of marketing. You know, NAFB, and we can remember when we started it, you know, became a marketing arm essentially on behalf of members, and that's something the other organizations haven't gotten into. So it is a distinction in terms of a value that you can offer to membership, wouldn't you say?
Yes, NAFB has a strong history of research in the marketing, and the one thing that just to clarify, they actually help market the member entity properties, not the members themselves. The members are primarily journalists,
right.
And ag reporters. So it's a cooperative effort between the member entities, their employers, or if they happen to own it. But NAFB has been one of the leading researchers of traditional media and even some of the new media, and has spent literally hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years in getting that pulled together. So continuing that and making sure that it stays relevant going forward is key.
Well, I'm waiting for your announcement sometime in the next month when we can find the Mark Vail NAFB Executive Director blog and maybe his podcast.
When is your next training session, Mr. Zimmerman?
Hey, I'll be happy to stop by and do that. Now, you know, obviously, we got another month to go, but I drive by there fairly frequently, you know. So, I'll put that offer out there. Anytime that opportunity comes up, I would be happy to stop by and kind of, because that's part of what we do with
sure.
clients or organizations, besides seeing, you know, because our company has been an evolution here, is the way I like to say it, as we've moved into using some of these new communication channels. And so we do a lot of different things, but having our own properties now, you know, I liken it back to when I worked with Gary Cooper in the Southeast and we were, you know, owners of a radio station. We do look at our websites now as media properties, and you know, we didn't have that 5 years ago. It's just astounding what you can do with a little bit of entrepreneurial drive. I think that's something you can't take too lightly, but anyway, would love to. One other thing I thought I might touch on, because it was in the latest NAFB e-chats, and that is the looking at membership for the organization. It's obvious that there is an effort going on to consider how people like Chuck and Cindy and some others fit into membership and in what ways, since you do have different classes of membership, right?
Well, we have the Broadcast Council, the Allied Industry Council, and then Management and Sales Council, and making sure that the membership categories fit the needs of the people that are producing the content or managing the properties or are in the supporting industries. That's really been a challenge because the traditional member model included being a member of a broadcast facility. Mm-hmm. And that's changed. So the association's looking at ways to accomplish being inclusive where it's appropriate, when it's appropriate, and how we can continue to relate both ways. It's a relationship situation, never easy to get through, but again, the creativity of broadcasters, creativity of people like yourself, will create a solution rather than probably find one. We'll create our own. So
yeah. Well, is there, let's see, anything else that you might want to let agri-marketers in particular know as you transition to this position? You know, we've had just sort of, I guess, a slight gap since Bill left, but, you know, everything seems to be running smoothly. I saw Jennifer down at the Cattlemen's Convention, and so you know, one of the things you do have is pretty strong member leaders who can help out there, maybe more than some other organizations. and I'm sure that presents its own interesting moments as well.
It does. It makes for some interesting discussions. And I happen to have been serving on the board of directors as a management and sales council representative. This is my third or fourth trip to the board over the past 15, 20 years. So when you understand and realize that you've got a strong, solid staff and the membership has good, strong leaders and people that are willing to put forward the effort to participate and contribute, things can go along for a period of time pretty darn well. And,
yeah.
And I think NAFB's long history of transitions, both in leadership and in management, attest to the fact that there's a pretty solid foundation here, one that's not going to be easily shaken.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe first quivers of shaking will start March 1st. Maybe.
Well, I know that you can't take credit for the Gospel of Mark, but maybe we will have a new NAFB Gospel of Mark. Who knows?
Well, I'm not that prolific a writer. Well, I don't know. That'd be pretty tough to sell internally. Now, good idea. No, let me think about that. No, it's a bad idea.
Well, that's, in fact, you know, I Cindy's the writer in this team here at ZimCom, but I have certainly done more since getting on the web and with the whole blogging thing. But it's one of the things I like is that we've found that, you know, and we've known this in broadcasting for a long time, that people like someone to help aggregate information for them that they trust, and they kind of want it in sort of short nuggets instead of, I think, increasingly. You know, you talked about the digital overload. I certainly can relate to that. I think that is a very real thing, and it's a challenge then, of course, to stand out and to be heard or what have you in the crowd. But you know, that's, I think, you know, once we get you to start this new podcast and blog I was talking about, you know, you might find that you can be a little more prolific. We'll see.
Well, we'll add it to the possibilities.
Okay.
Let me put it that way. Never say never.
Right.
One thing that, you know, it has done is I think it should have, let me put it that way. If it hasn't with some people, it should have. When you put things out in blogs and, you know, if you're in social media, just remember it's out there.
Right.
And sometimes the emotion of the moment or the way you are thinking about saying something and trying to translate that to the written word, that can create some challenges, and that's what I've always liked about phenomenal writers, is that you really don't know what their state of mind was when they were writing it, because they're able to put you in the state of mind that you need to be while you're reading it.
Right.
It's very easy in today's age to post something that can be inflammatory, that you intended to be a compliment, and it was just the way it comes across. So I'm a cautious participant, let's put it that way.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to working with you when you are in your new position here soon, and glad we had the opportunity to talk and maybe give a little bit of preview into that, if you will. So I do appreciate it, Mark. And, you know, again, just before we close here, if there's anything else you want to say to those, either those NAFBers or the rest of the agri-marketing world, feel free, or we'll just go ahead and look forward to seeing you out on the road somewhere.
Well, I appreciate the time, Chuck. It's a great opportunity to serve two of the greatest industries, broadcast and agriculture, that, from my perspective, and to be part of hopefully the growing of both is a challenge as we look to the new decade.
All right.
Appreciate your time.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That is Mark Vail, who is going to be taking over as the new executive director for the National Association of Farm Broadcasting. And that's going to be our Zimcast for this week. I got to get ready to hit the road here, and we'll see you next somewhere out on the agri-blogging highway. That's our Zimcast. I hope you enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.